Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you know us and that you love each of us. We thank you that you are a God who speaks to our hearts and to our minds. And Lord, we say together that we are willing to listen and to obey you. Amen. Well, over the past few weeks in our studies in this book of Colossians, we have seen that there are all kinds of different ways that we can demonstrate the difference that Jesus makes in our lives and the kinds of ways that we can serve other people through our actions. We've been thinking about how we can be people who speak truth, who mold culture, who bring a blessing to other people. And those are all really important things to be doing. As well as those things, the people on our front lines, the places where God has put us at work, at college, at home, the people that we meet on our front lines also need to hear that it was Jesus who made the difference to us, and that Jesus is the only one who can make an eternal difference to them. Jesus, after all, did not come only to serve and to bless and to heal people and to be an example to follow. In St. Mark's words, he came to give his life as a ransom for many. So today we're thinking about how we can be messengers for the gospel on our front line. Now, of course, this takes us very quickly to the E word, evangelism. And probably for most of us, evangelism is a bit like a trip to the dentist's. We know we're meant to go, but when we get there, we also know that we're meant to open our mouths. But we're rather afraid that when we do, extremely unpleasant and painful things will happen to us. In fact, given a choice between evangelism and a trip to the dentist, probably most of us would choose the trip to the dentist. Why such a negative view? Maybe because I think we might just have the wrong idea of what everyday evangelism is actually all about. I don't think God expects us all to have the eloquence of a Billy Graham or a more contemporary version, J. John. But I do think that he wants us to be able to give a reason for the hope that we have. And that comes from 1 Peter chapter 3. Suppose you think about everyday evangelism in these terms. Simply being obedient to draw alongside people that God already knows and loves and is working in. I think there are three things that are important to remember in evangelism. God wants people to be forgiven and drawn into a relationship with him. Secondly, God himself is the one who will ultimately draw people to himself. Thirdly, we have some role in this, however small. Now, all of our contexts are different. Some of the places where we might live and work are really hostile to God. Others are indifferent. Some might be quite open. But wherever we are, there is good news because you and me are there. And that's good news. Have you ever thought about it? The fact that you're there is good news. You might not think much about that, but I believe it's true. You won't notice most of the time probably the good impact that you're having, but it's true. But not only you are there, God is there. I know my approach to my own life as a Christian was kind of transformed a few years ago when somebody reminded me that at the beginning of the day, I could pray about what was going to be happening ahead of me in the day, knowing that God was going to be there before me. He'd be taking the place in the meeting. he'd be helping to prepare for the difficult encounter I was going to have. He's there before me, and we have him with us. So just think about your front line for a minute. Think about the place where God has put you to be a blessing to the wider world. School, home, workplace. Is there anybody who comes immediately to mind who you perhaps already have a bit of a relationship with? Who has shown some degree of interest in spiritual things? They're not completely switched off. You've just detected there's a little bit of interest in that person. Or maybe, just maybe, that's the person that God is calling you to come alongside a little bit more. And let's think about some ways we can do this. Well, the verses in Colossians teach us a couple of things, I think. First of all, we need to speak to God about people. And secondly, we need to speak to people about God. So first of all, speaking to God about people. If you have a look at the reading, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. It's often helpful when we're thinking about our part in God's work in people's lives to begin by asking him whether there's a particular person he might be wanting us to reach out to. And that takes prayer, just as we've done today. Maybe God has put into your mind somebody. Well, that's just the right way to do it. Sometimes you might have a really significant encounter with a stranger. I'm sure we may all have had that. You know, you've been on a bus or a long train journey and you just get talking about things and you go quite deep. But you're never going to see that person again. And perhaps that makes it easier to go quite deep with them. But we all also have people who are around us all the time. Family members, work colleagues. And perhaps we can't be quite as challenging with those people because we've got to build a relationship with them over time. And this needs to be bathed in prayer. Prayer takes effort. Paul says, devote yourself. Continue steadfastly. Persevere in it. Is there somebody that you can be praying for every week? Or even every day? But don't let it get too intense, Paul says. Sprinkle it, as he says, with thanksgiving. Be quite light touch about this. Be grateful, be thankful for the relationships you have with the people we're thinking about and the life that you enjoy with them. Thank God for every little evidence of work in their lives. So that's for us. But Paul asks also that we pray for him, that he may proclaim the mystery of Christ. So we also should be praying for those who have the gift and the calling to preach the good news to others. To pray for those who preach in our churches. Our Paul asks for prayer for him. To pray that God will open a door for the message. A door into people's hearts and minds. So that's speaking to God about people. Secondly, speaking to people about God. Now for Paul, the preacher, he's already asked that they would pray for him, that he could proclaim the good news. For us reading these words, you and me, Paul gives us advice, not that we might become preachers, but that we might be able to answer people who ask us about our faith. Writing to some Christians in another part of the Mediterranean, St. Peter, the apostle, says this to them. It's a very, very important and significant passage. And I just wonder if you'd like to keep your finger in this passage and turn on with me to page 1219. I think for me this has been the most significant verse in my approach to evangelism in the last 10 or 15 years. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Peter writes, "In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." I think this is a phenomenally good way to approach being messengers. Do you see what Peter's getting at? He first of all says, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. So as you and me live out our lives with God first, in our hearts, trying to follow him, if we do that, people will notice. Because not everybody does that, do they? People will notice, and they'll notice hopefully a good difference about us. So that we don't argue quite as much as the person next to us. We are able to forgive when we're wronged. We do hold our anger and our tongue. We do make the effort to reach out to others in all the ways that we've been thinking about over the last few weeks. I believe that if we live those good lives, people will notice. And then they may just come up to us and ask us the question. So they might say, "Jill, why is it that you're so peaceful about the circumstances that you're facing? Or Suzanne, why is it that you can keep your calm in the midst of all of the challenges?" Now, at that point, we have two options. We can say, "Oh, it's nothing really." But we could actually give credit to God and say, "Do you know what? For me, God helps me. It's God who's helping me to do these things, to be this kind of a person." And you might even have the opportunity to tell them a little bit more about why. What is it that God helps you with? Do you see? You're giving an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. You're answering a question. You're not going in and telling them, "You've got to believe this because I believe it." It's not a terribly good way of going around. See, godly walk goes hand in hand with godly talk. So accept the openings that come your way. Be wise, as Paul says, but not too cautious. Make the most of all the opportunities. Be gracious and kind, he says, but not dull. He says, season your words with salt. I think that means bring some flavor into what you say. Maybe a little bit of wit, a bit of challenge sometimes. If anybody says to me, "I don't believe in God," then I often turn the question round to them and say, well, what do you believe in? And I get people to realize that mostly they believe in themselves, actually, and trust themselves. And that's not a bad thing, but everybody believes in something. If we just think about this a little bit more, as you're talking about people, or talking with people, one of the things you might be able to do is to offer biblical perspectives on what's being talked about. And that starts with listening to them. So maybe you're talking about a recent storyline in a recent soap opera. A homeowner has to come to terms with a neighbor burgling his house. The next door neighbor has burgled his house. It's the sort of stuff of soap operas, isn't it, really? They're trying to come to terms with this. Struggling to forgive their neighbour, knowing that they've got to continue to live next door to them. Just a storyline from a soap opera. But I wonder if you can come and speak about that and how you, perhaps, as you were listening to what your friend was talking about from that storyline, perhaps you could share an experience of when you've had to forgive and how God helps you with that. So offer biblical perspectives on things that are being talked about. Secondly, tell your story. I often ask people the question, why are you still a Christian today? People say, well, I might have been a Christian for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. Why are you still a Christian today? What difference does God make in your life? Well, I know for me, he's loved me beyond my imagining. He took me and believes in me. He forgives my sins. He gives me the strength to love others. He sustains me when my heart is troubled. He's given me a purpose in my work. That's just for me. I'm sure you could say things that are similar and also different. And finally, we may just get the opportunity to explain what the good news is. And if you've never thought about that, if someone said to you, what do I need to do to become a Christian? Then what I want to encourage you to do is to take away this little book. I often advertise this book. I think it's the best summary of the Christian faith possible. And it's really small. And everybody's welcome to take one today. It's called Why Jesus. And at the back, there is just a really little prayer and a summary of what it means to come to faith. And maybe if you have one of those in your pocket, so to speak, not literally, but at least you might be able to say something or at least pass one on to somebody else. So take one away and possibly pass it on. So today we've been thinking about being messengers of this good news. And let's just conclude by closing our eyes for a moment and thinking again about that person that I asked you to bring to mind, person that you could be a blessing to. And just pray now for an opportunity to perhaps share something of God's love with them in the week ahead. Amen.